All right, after the podcast, we are going to have a really cool interview with the Swan Brothers, Zach and Colton. They're back. We love them. They're so cool. So again, after the jingle at the end of the podcast, that interview is going to be there for your listening pleasure.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast. The podcast. The podcast.
The podcast.
Big D and Bubba podcast.
The podcast.
The podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having us on. I'm Bubba. That's Big D. And this is our podcast.
Where's the gold?
Oh, the gold. I'm sorry. Here we go. This is brand new, and we didn't even address it yet.
Hi. Thank you, brothers.
Oh.
That's our buddy Tim. Like, he's like, thank you, brothers. I love that.
Hi. Thank you, brothers.
I don't know where, why, what, but that will pop up somewhere. You'll hear our show announcer, David Angel, talking one day, and you'll hear,
hi, thank you, brothers.
Big D and Bubba. You know, whatever. O'Reilly. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just the coolest people on the planet. Better parts, better prices every day. If you have anything going on, if you need new wiper, let me tell you something. Winter and wipers are a bad mix. Like, for some reason, my wife, she's like, she complained, I can't see out of my truck, I can't see out of my truck, I get in there, her wipers are all streaky, and it just looks like, I'm like, didn't you ever think to change your wipers? No.
No.
So, I went and I got her new wipers, and she's like, oh my gosh, it's like a brand new car. Yeah, so if you're thinking your visibility sucks out of your vehicle, go run to O'Reilly and pick up some new wipers, it'll change your life. And maybe
change your life.
So, well, hi, Big D. What a crazy week as we gained a little weight, or I gained a little weight, up a pound over the past week. For those of you who are following along with 100 pounds in 100 days, you, however, were down a pound. Patrick was even. Carson lost a pound, so we're down 69 pounds total. And that was on day 51, 52, something like that.
Yeah.
So we're kind of in a weird spot as we're, you know, getting to that plateau. Think about it. We didn't have much of a fluctuation. Like week one and week two, we were dropping, you know, 12 pounds combined.
You expect that, though.
So now we're down to the point where we're only negative 1 pound out of the four of us. That's messed up, man.
Messed up, man.
So we got the last.
We're in a weird spot, as you say.
Yeah. Well, we got the last, 39 days or whatever?
Yeah.
And we're going to be trying to push it close.
Oh, well. Oh, well.
You don't care.
No, I really don't. I don't. You know, there is a place, speaking of food, I was reading about this restaurant. It's in New York City where they have two menus. It's an Italian place. One menu is like traditional Italian, blah, blah, blah. The other menu is just grandmothers who go in and do their dish.
You lie.
Once a day.
You lie.
And what they serve is what they have. Like, it's.
Dude, that we used to have that. What was it? Silver Moon. And you ate whatever mama was making. She had this big cauldron. It wasn't even a pot. It was like this big old cast iron cauldron. And whatever she made is what you ate.
That was soul food.
Yeah, and it was amazing.
The grandmothers are of different ethnic backgrounds. So you may get like a Jewish dish. You may get Romanian. You may get, you know, whatever.
So they change the grandmothers every day or every week?
Every day.
Oh, dude, I'm totally down for
that. So the grandmothers, you know, they just want to go in and they want to cook. You know, grandmas like to cook.
It's their way to show off, too.
Yes. So they go in, cook for a day, and you know, make a big batch, and then they leave.
Honestly, I never understood why this kind of restaurant wasn't all over the place. I mean, there's something that we love, and it's called food. And why would you not? I mean, honestly, like when I went home this weekend, I ate my mom's food like crazy. It was the greatest thing ever. And if you're, you know, maybe looking for a cool little gimmick for a restaurant, just call it Mama's Place or something, or Mama's or Grandma's or something like that.
Yeah.
And then just have different grandmas come in and cook their food.
There's a place in a chain in Duluth in Minnesota. It's called Grandma's, but it's not Grandma. Just called that.
Oh.
I went in and I was like, oh,
man.
Hamburgers. Okay, I'll take one.
Better with bacon.
Dude, what do you remember the best hamburger you've ever had in your life?
Yeah, I do.
Where was it at?
It was in Albuquerque. It was in Albuquerque in Old Town, which is like kind of the touristy area. But there was this little hole in the wall. Literally, it was a hole in the wall with like a poncho draped over it. And it said tortilla burgers this way. And it was literally somebody in the back grilling. You could see it was open air. They were grilling, and then they would take the hamburger, and they would they looked kind of like turds. You know, like it wasn't round like a burger. It was just kind of like, it looked like a turd. And I know Carson's like giving me that face, but it did. It looked like that. And then you rolled it up into a tortilla, and it had all the hamburger fixins, the normal stuff on it.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Yeah. So it was like a hot dog. I mean, you could have said that too.
Or it looked like a turd.
But whatever. I did that one time where you do like a hamburger and you put it like you roll it like you would like a hot dog shape
or turd.
And you put it in like a bun, a hot dog bun. And so but it's a hamburger dog.
You guys ever had steamed cheese on a burger?
Steamed cheese?
Yeah, it's a thing in Connecticut. It was the town next to where I grew up, and there's a place called Ted's. And they had a little, it looked almost like a filing cabinet. It was only maybe, like, say, a foot and a half high, and it had little drawers. And they would take hunks of cheese and put them in these drawers, and they would steam. And so when they took the burgers off the grill, they would then dump the steamed, melty cheese all over the burger. It's spectacular.
Does the steam melt it in a different consistency than if you just heated it under?
I feel like there's much more pull to it.
What kind of cheese was it, though?
I think it was cheddar.
Is this like Dippin' Dots for cheese? Like where it's got a weird thing to it? Like it all just melts and reconstitutes in a different shape?
No, it went on top of a warm burger, so it's not like it got cold and solidified. It was just, it was steamed cheese on a burger. And I'm trying to remember if they might have even steamed the burgers. That I'm not sure about, but I know the steamed cheese was a big deal at Ted's in Meriden, Connecticut. And they were really good.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Because it was a really big hunk of cheese, but it doesn't seem, because it was steamed and melty and gooey.
D on Facebook just said, how does talking about steamed cheese and the best burgers ever help my diet? We don't know. We don't know how this helps your diet. That's up to you. Mm-hmm. That's your thing.
Well, because we can't eat it, let's talk about it.
You can eat it. Just don't eat it. Don't eat eight.
I watch all the Food Network. Well, I sit there and eat my salmon. It is. I'm like, oh, that looks so good.
Do you cook your salmon? Didn't you say it comes with like a little cedar plank?
No, I don't buy that fancy. Oh. I just
You should just get one. They're not expensive.
Oh, really?
The cedar planks?
Yeah, that's nothing. You
didn't know that.
You just go to Home Depot and you just say, I want this cut into this shape.
No, you can get them on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
You can also go to Home Depot.
I just I put it in the oven. I just bake it, and I bake it with lemon juice and lemon pepper and a little salt.
Is you take the skin off?
Yeah, it comes without the skin. Yeah, I purposely buy it skinless.
Is that all you eat? Because you don't eat meat except for fish, right?
Right. I eat salmon, and then I have tilapia.
So where do you get your salmon from?
Sam's Club.
Salmon's Club.
How's it sourced? Do you know?
I believe what I buy is the farm raised. I do not spring for the wild caught because that is really expensive, and I eat a lot of it, so it is not conducive to my bank account to eat that much.
Yeah, I get you.
But it's good.
I won't tell you.
How about it? Oh, that it's gray.
What aren't you going to tell her? You need to tell her.
A lot of farms use pellets that are colored. To give, and they feed it to them so that they get the certain color.
Because they're gray.
Right.
I told somebody that the other day, and their mind was blown.
What's gray?
Salmon.
Oh, yeah.
It's because, I guess, in the wild, they eat like a plankton or something.
That's a colored.
That's pink, and that's pink. Why they're pink. But the farm-raised ones are gray. Yeah. So in order
wants to eat a gray salmon.
No, I don't want a gray salmon.
So they feed them colored pellets.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know what color my muscles are on the inside, because I eat some weird stuff. Like, you know, wouldn't it be cool if like all of us had different colored muscles because of what we ate? Like, you know what I mean?
I've eaten lots of green things.
Yeah,
green.
Eat green stuff.
Well, you know, like if you eat too many carrots, your skin turns orange.
Yep.
Is that real?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a thing.
You also have really good eyesight because, as my mom said, have you ever seen a rabbit with glasses?
Is that true?
No, I've never seen a rabbit with glasses.
No, that was, you know where that myth started, right?
No.
It was something about, I want to say it was World War II, the American fighter pilots, and there was like something about
fighter what?
Fighter parish. Okay. There was something about radar, and they didn't want people to know about, and maybe it wasn't World War II, but something about they didn't want people to know that Americans had radar technology. And so they said like, oh, but we just feed the military carrots. And it gives them really good eyesight. Supposedly, that's how the myth was born, trying to convince our enemies that, no, it was just what we're feeding them.
God, people were so stupid
like
long
naive,
ago.
Naive. Completely
just
naive.
Dumb. Can you imagine that now? Like people come out, well,
hello, Taliban. Yes. Yes, don't worry about us. We don't have radar. We
eat carrots.
We eat a lot of carrots. I know it helps us see at night. We don't have night vision. We just feed them carrots. And we spike the carrots with pineapple juice. Right. And that helps them with the rods in the cornea. And it's crazy. And that's how we see at night.
I think that's...
Okay, thank you.
I think that's... I mean, but it... If you didn't know what radar was, right? Like you think it's a brand new technology. What's more believable, that you have this phantom power with radio waves that are bouncing? Like, I think that's how radar works.
Radar was like the force back then.
Yeah. So what's easier to believe, that there's these invisible waves above you in the sky, or like, oh, they just ate a bunch of carrots. Like, at least you know what a carrot is.
I want to say that, no, it's more believable to believe the radar. Like, I don't know. But, if, you know, my mom told me the same thing. And so all these years.
Well, because then it became an old wives' tale, right?
I hate carrots. I don't think I've eaten carrots voluntarily ever in my life. I've tried to do like the baby carrots and all that. I don't like them. And you know, I've got great vision. And it's obviously not because of carrots.
No.
I mean.
No, I keep a bag in my fridge because I eat them when I really want something else to snack on. And my contact prescription is insanely powerful because I can't see 3 feet in front of my face. So carrots do me no good.
You know, the Germans were just like, because they were running experiments on people. They would like seriously feed them nothing but carrots and then like put them through the ringer. God, can you see this? No, you can't. Why can you not?
Read the third line.
We need American carrots.
I started watching a documentary. I'm trying to find it. Bubba, you'd love it, man.
What is it?
It's about a guy. Oh, because I found it. It's about a guy who, back in the 80s, created this engine that would run on low power. It would put out 800% of the power. You know, now... You know, one of the laws of physics is that, was it thermonuclear physics, whatever, that when you put power into something, you never get out 100%.
Right.
It's like 80 or whatever. You lose
the
20%.
The most efficient engines, you're getting a fraction.
Yeah. And so, anyway, this guy, he was from Lucedale, Mississippi, and he created this engine that would run on little batteries, like AA batteries, AAA batteries, and this thing would just keep running on. It would go over on and on and on and on. It went through all these tests. All these physicists came in. All these scientists came in, and they're like, yeah, this is actually, it's changed. This has changed physics. And he tried to go get it patented because companies wanted to get this, but they were like, we're not going to.
They want to shelve it.
We don't want you to. Well, I'm talking about not the government, just companies.
Yeah, but companies in general. Yeah. If you cure cancer, there's so many big. I'm a total believer in companies shelving products because it would put their other products out of business.
Yeah. Well, these were companies that wanted to use it
and use it.
And change the world.
We need that.
So. He tries to go, but they won't hire him, take it, what, giving money for whatever, until it gets patented.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the patent office won't give him a patent. Then he sues him to try and go get a patent. And so right now in the documentary, I'm at the point where he's in court and he's suing them to get it. And yeah, everyone was so naive, you don't realize that, yeah, like Bubba was saying is right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's been lots of people.
Like that
we
guy.
We have gasoline in cars? That's ludicrous. Why do we have gasoline?
Well, because we have
combustion engines.
We have entire industries built upon the oil industry. And I have nothing against big oil because most of my family, growing up in South Louisiana, you know, that's where everything stems from. It's the entire economy is run around petroleum. And whether you're offshore and you're doing the drilling,
it, man.
Or
yeah,
you're in
you're
the
in your family, and that's what people do for a living. But man, we're living so far back for science.
What I was going to say is this: you have people like that guy in Tampa or Clearwater who invented the. It was a hydrolysis type thing. This guy basically took a motor and had it to where you can run off of water.
Yeah,
it would separate this little hydrolysis thing would separate the water, the hydrogen and the oxygen, and then you would run your engine, your car off of that. And he had several working prototypes, and then he disappeared. We haven't seen or heard from this guy in 20 years.
Either they disappear or you know get offed, or the government will go in, intelligence agencies will go in and give him $5 million, 10 to whoever the whatever the cost is. And they buy the technology from them, and then they scrap, they shelve it.
Epstein didn't kill himself.
I really believe that we have, like, you've seen that episode at the very end of Indiana Jones, where they have all the stuff that's saved in the, you know what I mean, the buildings, and it just keeps going on and on and on and on.
Oh, like the Warehouse 13.
Yes.
Okay. Warehouse 13 was on the Sci-Fi Network, and that was kind of a cool thing. And, oh, I know what you're talking about at the end of Indiana Jones. Yeah. It looked like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I really believe that I think we have something like that, where we have all these unbelievable scientific discoveries, things that go against and redo the laws of physics, but we are so short-minded and greedy that instead of having free energy, you know, for the world, you know, we're going to
well, that's
do
how
that.
The whole movie from years ago, The Saint with Val Kilmer.
Never saw it.
Oh, him and Elizabeth Shue, which, I mean, Elizabeth Shue should always pique your interest. But I love Val Kilmer, but it's she develops cold fusion, which I don't know what that is. But I guess it's supposed to be really cheap, clean energy. And people want her killed. And so I think they hire him to kill her because they don't want her to be able to introduce it because then oil companies and power companies, their billions of dollars would be gone.
Newman is the name of that. It's the guy's name is Joseph Newman.
Is it on Netflix or Amazon Prime or God bless you?
It's on Amazon.
God save you. Come on, you have two or three more.
I'm a three sneezer.
You usually have three.
I'm a three.
No, Big D sometimes will have a...
and there it is.
God keep you.
You know the best thing to do is like when... at the house, and like somebody in the house starts to sneeze, they go, and you go, oh my God! And then they go, oh, why?
You messed up my sneeze.
So Joseph Newman, a legendary asocial backwoods inventor,
asocial.
I love that.
Anybody who's asocial.
I'm changing my bio to that.
Oh, yes. You would be the perfect person to have asocial on their bio.
He happens onto a brilliant discovery that ends the need for oil, gas, and nuclear dependency as we know it, but he spends most of his life fighting conspiracy in Washington, D.C. for a patent. So I'm halfway through it, but it's...
And it is on Netflix?
No, it's on Prime.
Okay.
But what's the guy who had the car, Bubba, that back in the day ran on...
on the water, like we talked about.
Before that. Remember he had a car that like the headlights would turn when the steering wheel turned.
He had Tucker.
A Man in His Dream?
Yeah. Yes.
That was a
Tucker,
movie, right?
A Man in His Dream.
Yeah,
it's about
based on
his story.
Yeah, true. Okay. Yeah.
And basically all the big three car manufacturers shut him down.
Yeah.
They collectively came together and did everything they could to keep him from becoming a success. Which is interesting because we're kind of seeing a little bit of that with the way Tesla has disrupted the auto industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're forcing the big three, if you want to call them that, or the big eight or whatever, if you take in all the foreign cars as well, they're forcing everybody to go electric.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, what's funny is that the electric car back in the 90s, Bubba, that was out for a hot second. Everybody wanted one.
The electric car in the 90s?
Yeah, I'll pull it up. 1990.
They had that weird GM.
I found it.
The GM EV1.
EV1, yeah.
Nobody wanted that.
Yeah.
Really?
Was that the first one?
That's that one that had the weird wonky looking end. Like it looked like a boat tail back end.
No, it's close to that though. It's similar. I watched this thing on that. They go in. This car was whatever it was the first electric car, and man, I kind of think this was the EV1. Man,
1997.
Yeah, and. They sold these cars, and they did it on a weird thing. They did it you bought the car, but you didn't own the car, and so they could take them back at any time.
I want to say that's how the original Teslas were. I could be wrong, but it was like you couldn't buy it. You could only lease them.
I think that sounds right, yeah.
And yeah, you could only lease them for a little while, and you gave it back. And
people loved these cars. They loved them. Yeah, they started taking off, and they started the show I watched was with somebody who worked on the team that was supposed to, like, to promote them, you know, that kind of stuff. And they're putting them in the hands of celebrities, you know, and they would talk about them on TV.
Are you thinking
Tom Hanks had one?
The Fisker?
No.
Because that was like the 2000s.
Mm, no, this is
the Fisker's hot. I got a buddy of mine who has one.
But so they all of a sudden people are loving these, and then they start getting taken away. They're like, hey, we're repossessing him. Oh, this is it, man. I found it.
What was it called?
Vehicle. It was the EV1 program.
Yeah. General Motors EV1.
The vehicles were, quote, repossessed from their lessees. In fact, all EV1s were deactivated. Most of them met their fate from a car crusher, while others were donated to technical colleges or museums.
It was an ugly car.
Yeah, it wasn't real pretty. Under the agreement that they could never be driven on public roads. So, in fact, the Smithsonian Institute has an EV1 in their possession, but they cannot drive it. So there were, when GM canceled the program, it was super successful. People loved. Yes, they organized, and so like all these people who had them were like, "Hey, what's going on?" They would go and pick it, and then they would be on watch, and they would watch these cars go from a lot, and then they followed them, and they went to a crusher, and they crushed them.
Oh, wow.
And the drivers were satisfied with the vehicles. It led to the development of other electrified vehicles like Chevrolet Bolt,
yeah.
EV, and Volt with a V.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it was this big conspiracy. They're like, did y'all do that?
They only sold 1,100 of them.
And it was wildly
successful. Or at least 1,100.
Right. And the lady who was working for them was like, it got really weird. Something happened. I'm like, yeah, I know what happened. Big Oil came in and happened and said, what are y'all doing? You're taking money away. No, it was too successful. It was too early. And so now Tesla comes along. You guarantee Elon Musk knows all about the EV1 program happened so that he could not have that happen to him. And if I recall early in the program with the Tesla, what didn't they have like it got close getting shut down. Don't you remember where it was kind of touch and go for a while?
Yeah, because I forget what they were trying to shut them down for, but there were all sorts of things being filed because something with the car. Maybe it was like he hadn't disclosed technology.
It was
or
something.
Something and
I
it was.
Still, I guarantee he paid somebody something.
Yeah. I still don't know, and I'm going to say this, and it's going to be very unpopular. As someone who has owned. Out of all of us, I'm the only one who has owned an electric vehicle, or leased an electric vehicle. I still think that the major auto manufacturers, whether it's Ford, GM, Honda, Toyota, et cetera, Nissans, all those, I think those guys are going to end up taking over again. And people like fringe players like the Teslas and all that, and people go, oh, no, Tesla's worth more than this and that. I get it. They're worth more, but they're I just don't know if they have the network in place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I kind of find them as a niche car.
I can see that,
You're going to have, because I'm telling you, the first person who puts out a really good pickup truck is going to be the one that takes over. And I know they're
electric truck.
And I know they did. They used the S10 back in the day, where they did an electric, and they've got like the Rivian and a couple others that are coming out.
Tesla truck. What else do you need?
The Hummer. The Tesla truck is so ugly, though. Let's be honest.
But it's so ugly. It looks cool.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Bubba, you're like the only one. You don't like it, but you still think they're going to sell.
Oh, I think they're going to sell, because what's going to happen is you're going to have a bunch of very wealthy people who are going to use them as their
status.
It's the same way. It's a status symbol. It's the same way a Tesla in general is a status symbol for a lot of people. It's
saying,
I'm better than you, is what it is. And when you have the truck, it's I'm really better than you. I mean, look, the Tesla does a lot of stuff really well. The Roadster, based on the original, not on the original, but based on the Lotus, was a brilliant car. Absolutely brilliant. The Model S, brilliant. Three, brilliant. The, what is it, the X or whatever, the one with the gullwing doors?
Yeah.
Holy crud, that's so cool.
It's hot.
But I just don't know if they have the longevity to outlast someone like a General Motors or a Ford or Toyota and those kind of guys. And that's... You know,
well, I mean, we're going to get to the point where, I mean, we all know we're going to have driverless or we're
going to
have
so soon.
Autonomous.
I'm so waiting for that.
Really? And see, not me.
Me either.
I just want a nap and wake me when I get there.
I worry about and when it comes to driverless cars and autonomy and all that, I worry about our industry. You know, it's going to be where we do the podcast. Nobody's going to want to listen to anything anymore. They're going to get in their car, and the entire front window is going to turn into a screen, and you punch in where you want to go, and then you just sit back and you watch Netflix the whole way into work.
Mm.
And I worry about that. So that's something that why you have to...
But most people's commutes aren't long enough to watch an entire episode.
Yeah, but 20 minutes, you can watch an episode. I mean,
you can...
I also think a lot of stuff is going to change. I mean, you adapt your programming for the average commute length.
Thing is, though, a lot of people won't be able to afford it right away. Right? So that's, you know, so it's still many years down the
road. Autonomy is still, it's still in the gestational stages. It's still new.
Let me tell you, driving that 3 hours the other day when I went, you know, when I took a day off, and that is the most boring drive. It is every minute of 3 hours. You are counting every minute. And you know what? I really could have used a nap. I could, you know, like I really would have appreciated my car taking over for me.
Yeah. And that's why it's going to be popular.
Mm-hmm.
And I think eventually, first we're going to see it to where it's all the interstates and freeways, et cetera, that are going to be, you know, you can't get on unless you are autonomous. And then it'll take over. Yeah, I think
that's a lane.
Or
a lane. They give you a lane.
You have the autonomous lane. That actually would be kind of cool too. But yeah, I think eventually it's going to happen. I have driven driverless cars. You know, I've driven the Teslas. I've done the lane keep assist, I'll say, is kind of nice.
I like that.
Where if you swerve or sway off, or if you're reaching down to get something off the floor, it holds you in the lane for a couple seconds. And there's some good stuff to it. I think eventually we're going to get to a point where, you know, we check out eventually. And driving is just a chore instead of something we enjoy. And I like driving.
Yeah. I remember I rented a Cadillac one time, and they didn't, you know, they don't tell you all the technology that's in the car.
At the rental place?
No, they don't. So I'm driving, I'm on the interstate, and I go to make a lane change, and I didn't put my blinker on. It's just me, and there's no cars. And so I just went over to the lane, and all of a sudden, my butt starts vibrating. It goes, I'm like, oh my God, it scared me so bad. I'm like, what was that? And it was the car. It was letting you know. It would vibrate the side of your one cheek. If it's on the right, your right cheek or the left, it would let you know, give you feedback.
Does it let you know which side? Like if you go a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left, it changes cheeks?
Yeah, I literally just said that.
Oh, I thought, no, you said one cheek.
I didn't know
if it was, I'm sorry. I didn't know if you meant.
Yeah. I like hamburgers. I like pickles in my hamburgers. What do you like on your hamburger?
It looks like a turd.
I like pickles. The best way to make it, to make a burger, is I like to put all this. I like to take the ground beef and I like to mix it with bison.
Not me. Bison's
beef
too dry.
Well, that's why you mix it.
Yeah, I'd rather just, if you're gonna do that,
you do
just
like
have
a 90 or an 80 mix.
Yeah.
And then you put in like all the other stuff that you want, like your bacon, your onions, or whatever, and you chop all that stuff up, all your seasonings, you mix it into the ground beef, and then you grill it. Oh my gosh, so good!
There you go, Carson. We're so back good. To the we're back mm-hmm. to beef,
dude. I really like the Impossible Burgers.
I haven't tried
They're
one.
They're great.
I want to try that and the Impossible Chicken.
Mm. Oh, I want to try that too.
You've not tried the chicken?
I haven't had that, no.
Oh, boy, the chicken one just seems ugh to
so
me.
So wait, now I have a question on the Impossible things. Mm-hmm. I've heard so many different things. Like, okay, so it's the fake meat. Mm-hmm. Do they flavor it with meat? I mean, how do you get the meat Mm-mm. flavor? And
somehow they figured it out. It's a lot of potato. I don't know how, what kind of magic sorcery they're doing to this burger, but it smells like beef, it has the texture of beef, and it tastes like it.
Does
like,
it grease at all? Is there a fat? Any kind of
I
fat
don't,
in
I
it?
Don't know if there was...
How'd you cook it?
I didn't. I have only gotten it at restaurants because you can't get them at a lot of grocery stores. But I've had them at a few different restaurants, and they were... One of them, the first time I got it, I remember being like, okay, this is really an Impossible Burger, right? Because it was that spot on.
Wow. So, yeah, but that's also, you're somebody who hasn't eaten meat in how long?
Like 20 years.
So 20 years, okay, you're going, this tastes just like meat, I think. I mean,
yeah, but
what
I mean,
you need
I
is one of us.
I used to eat meat all the time. But, so yeah, I know what it tastes
ago,
like. And I know.
Right. But
I mean, they haven't changed cows.
Oh, yes, they have. They don't taste the same. Chickens don't taste like they used to change.
I would be up for the challenge to bring that in here. Look, because I'm a meat eater.
You
I'm
go
a
to
carnivore.
Burger King one day and go get them.
Yeah, I would like to maybe try that and give you my honest opinion on it. I mean, I just think we need to support the cattle farmers. Mm-hmm. This meatless thing's going to go away. Big cattle's going to just shoot them down.
There is a, I don't know what you call it. There's a chicken that is still around. And there are a few farmers who raise them, but they are the old chicken, like from the 40s,
like
30s, and 40s.
Pre-antibiotic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they are smaller, and they just they say they taste
that they have a taste
way better. There's a different taste. It's a different. It's not the same as the chickens you have now. And I can't remember.
Is it kind of like sourdough? You know how like people will. Like they want sourdough yeast that's like 100 years old.
Yeah, well, they have the Ezekiel bread.
Yeah, like people sell
what
it on eBay.
Yeah, so Ezekiel bread is a bread that is made from the same...
Soylent green?
Yeast and whatever that you're talking about. And they have it from hundreds of years back.
Yeah.
And they just keep creating it and making it from itself. So you have the original bread.
You guys used to go to Memphis, a couple times a year. Did you ever, there's some burger joint, I think it's on Beale, where they've been using the same grease to cook their burgers since like the 1930s.
It's the exact same grease?
Yes.
They've never changed it?
Correct.
How do they do that? Well, I guess because it...
They fry the burgers in it every day, and then they put it in a vault at night, and they take it out the next day and heat it up, and it's so...
It doesn't go rancid?
I guess not. I don't know. I saw it on Food Network.
It's got to be some sort of filter they have to do.
I think they do some sort of skimming process. But they've been using effectively the same pan and grease or something for
decades. Well, when I used lard the other day to make those carnitas, I don't know if I really could tell the difference or if I was thinking I should.
That you wanted to tell the difference?
Yeah, but... I think it was better. It cooked better.
I could see that.
I don't know if the taste was any better. It cooked, you know what I mean? Like it was smoother. Like the meat going into the grease, into the lard, it was a real smooth process. It wasn't real combustible.
I'll tell you what I do know. I don't know a ton about lard, but I do know a ton about Guy's Grocery Games and Food Network Showdown. I watch Food Network all the time.
And tell us all about it.
The holiday baking games and the spring baking championship. And then they'll do the food competitions and Chopped and things like that. And Guy's Grocery Games, Chopped, things like that. Whenever people use lard, and they'll say up front, they're like, yep, I used lard. And the judges are like, ooh. They get excited. And inevitably, that person wins.
Better.
So there is something to it. So.
They're called heritage breeds. If you want to search, it took me a little bit to figure it out.
Oh, those chickens?
Yeah, they're called heritage breeds, and there's all kinds of stuff. It's not just chickens. It's all farm animals, whether it's chickens or cattle or turkeys, any kind of livestock you have. Mm-hmm. They do have heritage breeds, and you can find local farms and everything if you want to.
Oh, my gosh. Look at all the different ones.
Yeah.
There's at least five types of heritage chickens.
Oh, more than that, I'm sure.
Oh, here's the list. Big list of heritage chicken breeds. Yeah, what?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I am going to be researching heritage breeds to try it out because I want to know. I want to know, like, why it's better. I want to taste it and see because now we have the most amount of meat. Mm-hmm. On the chickens and on the cows and all that. I want to see the difference
is. The turkeys that can't stand up.
Like, did they taste?
Because they're so injected in bread.
Did they taste gamier? Mm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I would expect that they would taste more gamey, kind of like deer or something like that.
Broiler chickens.
Okay.
Broiler. Oh, no, never
mind. I got so excited.
Anyway, yeah, I think you can. You do some research on that. Also, someone just texted in, D, I'm literally watching you live. Yes. Yes, you are. I'm looking at you right now.
Yep.
First time watching the podcast. I much prefer the video feed to pure audio, just a viewpoint for your data. We have no data, but thank you. or data. You guys see data or data?
It depends. Sometimes it's data. If I'm talking about things, it's like data. But sometimes I'll be like, you need the data.
Yeah,
I kind of
go back and forth.
It depends on the sentence.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. Oh, heritage breed chickens for sale.
Yeah, I found a bunch.
Yeah.
And I found a bunch of, you're looking at chickens and I'm already on the heritage cattle.
Can you get the meat?
Yeah, you
can. Because some of these I'm finding are like buying the chickens, like the raise.
I don't want to buy it now. I want somebody else to raise them and.
Hello, Franny's Farm.
Franny's.
Franny'sFarm.com. Oh, see, that's what I'm talking about. It's like a chickens, and they're just out in a big field. There's a trailer in the background. There's a log home somewhere in there. Guys on a four wheeler. This is what I want, man.
Yeah, yeah. America.
Do the chickens get to ride four wheelers?
Here's heritage pigs, heritage sheep. Heritage goats. Dude, it's heritage livestock.
I told you I went into the Mexican grocery store the other day.
Mm. Best place ever.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Tres leches cakes and all that behind the little counter.
Dude, well, and also the amount of spices you can get so much cheaper.
Oh, yeah. And they're better.
Yeah.
I got some tortillas that they're refrigerated, and you take them and you have to cook them in the for 60 seconds on each side in a pan.
You mean like I do at home every time I make tortillas?
I mean,
I roll my own out, dude.
Oh, you make your own tortillas?
Yeah, I do the whole thing.
Oh, do you have a press?
No, I roll them out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you do your stuff.
What do you put in them?
Flour and a bunch of other stuff. My mom told me it's on a list inside of my cabinet.
Make them every time or just whenever? So
whenever
often?
We don't. Like sometimes Stacy will be like, oh, we're out of tortillas. And I'm like, aha, mom's recipe.
Do you like them better?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to do because they'll get too thick.
It's just not convenient. Yeah. Well, that's why you roll them out yourself.
But they thicken up.
Then roll them thinner, and then you can keep it from getting thick. And I actually like them thick.
See, I don't like them. The ones I got they were really good. Hmm. They were some of the better ones. But anyway, this Mexican grocery store also had a butcher shop in the back.
Oh, yeah. Game changer?
It was nasty.
Oh.
No, but in a good way or a bad way?
In a bad way.
Have you ever heard good nasty?
Yeah.
It wasn't good.
It was good nasty.
I've never heard food referred to as a good nasty.
Like they had chicken just kind of out, and it just kind of had that, you know, it kind of gets that milky in its own juice.
Oh, yeah.
And it just didn't look right. They had a pig head there.
Oh, nope.
It was just sitting there. It wasn't a thing. They had a giant. Okay, so you know, like when you do like crackling or pork rind, mm-hmm. They're that this size or whatever in a bag, and they have they all have unique shapes. Mm-hmm. They're kind of rolled over, kind of curved or whatever. They come back on themselves. Okay, imagine that, but this thing was the size of a pillow. It was enormous.
Oh,
one giant. pork
How
rind.
How do you eat that?
I don't know. I don't know if you just break it apart.
I said,
and you
get a hammer?
And you just kind of chunk it off in pieces?
They give you a pickaxe. And you just go,
I don't know. I wanted to buy it and bring off. It in and like, because, you know, Patrick is eating just,
yeah.
He could eat that. He could just chaw on
it. Can you imagine if we just watched him? He's just got like a sheet of it munch, munch.
It's like holding, it would be like holding
it's
a
like,
calf.
It In my mind, I see Fred Flintstone and that giant Brano burger. Yeah, the big Brontosaurus burger, yes, you know? It tips the car over and everything. It's pretty great.
Anyway.
Also, it tipped the car, but man, their little car hop, she was able to bring it right over.
She had no problems.
Well, no. Well,
people were stronger then. Much, much stronger.
Well, they didn't have the farmed dinosaurs.
Well, they were heritage
people. They were heritage chickens.
They were heritage people.
They were heritage Brontos.
All right. So I do want to say this. Bill Bailey gave us the only negative click on our entire podcast.
Why, Bill?
Yeah, Bill, why'd you give us a negative? We have a one downvote, one angry person on the entire everybody. We got a bunch of likes, got a bunch of hearts, got a couple laughs. Bill, what's up, man? And he's been commenting left and right. Bill.
Being mean?
Please change
What's
that.
His comments?
What's his comments?
He's just commenting on things we say. Like he's saying ribs and yes on the tortillas and
He could have been like a down, but like he doesn't want Impossible Burgers. He's like, I don't want that.
Maybe that's what it was. Anyway, so I'm just asking if you're watching on Facebook, go give us some hearts and likes so I don't feel bad about that one angry emoji that it's staring me back in the face. That's the problem.
And all the good ones, but that one, it just drives you crazy.
That one. And that's
squeaky
wheel.
Man, won't you come home, Bill Bailey? Won't you come home?
Oh, he's never heard that before.
I know. Well, you know what? He left us something negative. That's what prompts it. There you are, man.
Won't you come home, Big
Bailey? Exactly.
Hey, Big D, remember the best version of that ever?
No. Oh, yes.
Oh, dear.
Yes, I do. Bayou Girl. Oh, I can say it. Bayou Girl. Right?
Yeah, I was going to say we can't play it because we don't have a version of it.
I can pull it up right now.
Do you?
What is she on Instagram?
I don't even know.
Everyone, yes, you do. Why are you doing this?
Because I haven't looked it up in forever.
What's her name?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Why, Katie Nicole, why are you trying to be so weird?
Because I don't want people going and hating on people. I mean, look, I'm all upset because somebody left us a sad face and an angry face.
Mm. Oh, I did. Mm. I can't find her.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We got to find that.
Katie Nicole.
Won't you come home, Bill Bailey?
Won't you? We found her. She sings and. How is she spelling Katie?
K-A-T-Y.
Oh, that's why. Katie.
Oh, my gosh. There's 5 billion.
Got it.
You found it?
Yeah. Can I plug it in?
Yeah, plug it in.
Anyway, we're right across her. And, she sings like she wants to do like.
Like Branson type things.
Yeah. So anyway, she goes to old folks' homes and sings to them, which is super cool. But Bill Bailey is one of the songs that.
No.
That's not it. I think I'm. Yep. Gets after it. But at the old folks' home, there's like no one's moving. They're just staring at it. There ain't one person. Yes. Yeah, so sometimes I'll call Bubba and I'll just go, "Would you come home, Bill Bailey? Would you come home?" He'll be like, "Why did you do that? Why would you do that?"
Great. All right. Well,
I could never go to. I get so depressed.
What? Oh, like retirement homes or as we call them, old folks' homes.
Oh my gosh,
it's so sad.
When we moved my grandmother into what I referred to as the dormitory, I have never been so jealous of a living situation in my life.
Oh, really?
Because she had, it was like a little apartment. She had a kitchenette, a table, her TV, her bed, whatever. But then there's the rec room and the dining room. And they get the 3 meals a day where they all go and hang out. And like the bus will take you to the mall. It was like college for old people. And I thought as a single person, I would love this.
You know what happened? You know, someone.
A social person.
A social, yes.
A friend of mine who is a nurse. It's a dude. said that STDs are rampant.
Well, because they got all this stuff now. They can take a pill and all of a sudden grandpa's got a woohoo.
Well, and when you're in the home,
ain't nothing to do.
Not a lot. My grandmother, she was a very beautiful woman.
Please stop.
She kept her, like, her skin was gorgeous. She spent so much money on makeup and products and whatever. Her hair was always done and whatever. And my grandfather died, like, oh my gosh, when she was maybe like 60 some odd years old. And she lived to be 96. Oh, well. So she was without him for the better part of 30 years. She would go to the grocery store. She'd go to Hallmark, like the gift card, because it was all in the same shopping plaza.
Yeah. Just pick dudes up.
And no, guys would be like, I would love to take you out in this little old man way. And she'd be like, no, my heart belonged to one man. Oh, Grandma, man. Are you? Come on. Which, okay, she cursed his name until the day he died. And then...
And then it was
Saint Stephen. But
wait a minute. Do you think she felt guilty? Like for
oh my gosh, the story my mother would tell about, like, you know, oh my gosh, like she hit my grandfather with not a pan, but some sort of object.
Romantic.
And he was knocked
abuse?
Out. Yes. And like, and here's my mother as a child thinking her father is dead. And they would and like it took him a few minutes to wake up.
Oh.
And
called unconscious.
Yep. Yeah, so, yes. But she
he's didn't, not sleeping.
But she didn't know, right? She's like a little kid. And so then, you know, my grandfather passes and my grandmother, like, Saint Stephen. And my mother's like, you hated him. What is wrong with you? And so then, but I would tell my grandma, being me, I'd be like, Grandma, go get you a free meal. Let him take you to dinner.
Yeah.
Go get some food. Nope. Mm-mm. No. Wouldn't do it. Nope.
There's I think it's a Pennsylvania nursing home. They built, so when you go inside the building, the ceiling is higher and it's kind of curved and it's painted like the sky, like blue with clouds and that kind of stuff. And you go down the halls and instead of the rooms being like, you know, like a hospital room, you have a hospital where you have a hallway and rooms off to they've built these facades so it looks like front porches with little picket fences.
And you can put your little chair there and everything?
Yeah. And they make it like it's a little neighborhood, like a miniature neighborhood, because they all feel more calm. And they're all based on their era of building, of how the houses look.
So the architecture reflects their age.
And they go down and there's like a little gas station, little store. And
so like when I'm old, when I'm old, it's going to be like an alligator swamp type thing. And
yeah,
that would be kind of cool.
So that they feel more comfortable.
When we go, it'll be like a 7-Eleven with a Slurpee machine.
Yeah.
Right? That's like we would go down the hall. To our convenience store.
It's going to be everything's going to look like the inside of a Starbucks.
Imagine if they gave us a Buc-ee's.
Buc-ee's. Starbucks, Buc-ee's. Maybe you can just pick whatever you want.
Yeah.
Hey, as long as my bathroom's nice, I'm good.
Yeah.
Buc-ee's bathrooms are the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were. Some good chocolate-covered pretzels, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so I think it's about time to wrap it up. I got to go pick up my kids from school. Mm-hmm. Love you guys, and thank you for watching the podcast.
Did Bill Bailey ever come back?
No, I don't see Bill Bailey anywhere.
I'll play some Katie on him.
Anyway, thank you for having on the podcast. Stick around if you're listening for the Swan Brothers interview, and have a great weekend.
Bye. This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show
on the
radio. Every day, it was the podcast.
I'm sorry.
Oh, hey, it's the Swan Brothers.
Good morning.
What up?
Good morning, fellas.
I love you guys. Y'all are some of my favorites. It's just goofy. It's fun.
You're our favorites. I tell you.
Are we goofy and fun?
One of you.
Bubba's the goofy one.
No, it's good to be back. I haven't seen you in a while.
It's been a while.
That's what I told Patrick whenever he said you guys were coming by. I said, dude, I'm so pumped because I love y'all. Like, I seriously do. I've always thought y'all were cool dudes, amazingly talented. Mm. And I'm like, I'm so glad that they're still around and whatever, because this industry chews people up.
Yeah.
And I was literally worried. So when I found out you guys had new music coming and everything, I got super, super excited because I like y'all and I want to see y'all succeed. And obviously, y'all are here.
Well, thank you. We're still grinding it out, and it does. I mean, look at us. We look chewed.
Man. I actually think before we quit, yeah, I actually think this is going to be probably the coolest and probably biggest year of our life.
You know, you've got not to interrupt you, but you know, and you team up with Vince Gill on a song.
Yeah,
it I don't know, something like that. It kind of propels and
you're doing a song with royalty.
Off. Well, and you really stop caring about certain things. You really just realize how blessed you are, and you focused on. Vince freaking Gill sang with us, man. Like,
I don't want to have to be the guy, but I will be the guy, and I will say, you realize Vince Gill sings with everybody, right?
Well,
Vince
I was going to say, yeah. No, he used to sing with everybody. He doesn't do it as much anymore.
He doesn't do as much anymore. But
like,
man,
it was like anything Vince Gill ever touched, he was always, you would hear all these great songs, and if you listen in the background, you're going, man, that's Vince Gill.
Yeah.
You hear him all over the place doing harmonies on all those records from like the mid-2000s.
I mean, I have performed with Vince Gill.
Have you really?
Yes, remember here in studio, we wrote a duet together.
Oh, but that's different.
I honestly don't
remember that at all.
What?
Wow.
Vince has been in here?
Yes.
Don't remember.
We sang together. It was awesome.
Hey, can you just give us this?
What?
Can you just give us this
one
thing?
No kidding.
Yeah.
You got, I don't need to be that guy.
I'd like to apologize. Just stop talking.
Well, Vince Gill, he has sang on, I think the number, I could be wrong, but I think someone told me it's over 1,000 artists.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1,000 artists.
How
they
cool
did a
is that?
Website where they did 6 degrees of Vince Gill, and like you can't find anyone who is not at
you
least
plug
less
anyone's
than
name in,
anyone.
And it would
you type in Lil Wayne
Vince.
And be like, no, he's 2 steps removed from Vince Gill because I'm like, oh my god, it's crazy.
Well, I would love to have a career where my voice is so sweet that everybody wants me to sing with them. That would be incredible.
And you end up on tour with the Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
That?
He's an Eagle.
Yeah. You just can't take away. Like, it's a bucket list moment. Like, regardless, yes, he's done it for 1,000 people.
I'm just messing with you. It's super cool.
It's super cool that he's done. Like, to me, though, that says a lot about him.
It does.
You know, like, he's a stand-up dude.
I had a phone call with him before he did it, and he said, I said, well, what do we need to put down as far as, like, you know, is there legal things and rights and labels? What, you know, how does this work? And he said, no, I have a deal worked out with my label. You know, they know that I do this thing, and I've sang on a lot of things. So, you know, as long as you put courtesy of, you know, all those people, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that's pretty cool that he helps out artists so much.
Yeah.
That
he has a deal.
He has part of his contract says, you can't tell me I can't do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Hey, we've got the Swan Brothers in the studio with us.
Say it again louder. I'm excited.
Look at Bubba did that so weirdly. You freaked out me. You did. He was like, what?
Bubba's coming back because he realized that he put his foot in his mouth. Like, I thought you guys were gone.
No.
So now he's like, yes, say it again.
Hey.
I just said that. I've never lied. I was very excited to know y'all were coming in. That's why when you said it, you went the Swan Brothers. Like, it was no big deal. I'm going, no, this is a big deal. These are the Swan Brothers.
Am I understanding, Colton, are you making soap? I love that.
Wait, what?
Listen, I don't even know how you heard that. I was telling Patrick that, yeah, I attempted it.
What kind did you do?
I got to be honest. I didn't have the right ingredients. It ended up being more like a
meth.
Mud.
Meth?
Yes.
You made meth?
Yeah. I didn't say it didn't sell well. I'm just saying it ended up being more like a rub.
Yeah. Wait.
When did you do this?
It's not important. Like,
why are you
really?
How do I not know about this?
We were making fun of our wives and all the hippie stuff that they're into, and I was talking about how my wife has now. I have soap that has like oatmeal in it.
Yeah,
and I don't know why. Like, I had soap my whole life, and it never had rocks or oatmeal or gravel inside it, and it worked just fine.
Well, you take a shower and have breakfast at the same time.
Yeah, right? This bar of soap's
the
delicious,
best soap,
hun.
Ever is the pumice soap that, like, mechanics use.
Oh, that's pumice?
It's like little pieces, little chunks of rock.
Remember lava
inside
soap?
It's like lava soap, and it's the best. Yeah. So clean because it takes off a whole layer of skin.
What's that, the orange stuff? Joe, I forget the name of it. Anyway, it's good stuff.
Colton volunteered that he tried to make soap.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with that. First off,
you go to the store, you buy soap. It's like a dollar, okay?
The reason,
you don't
though,
have to make your own.
The reason I did it, though, is because if you look in the ingredients and all this stuff, I never really paid attention. But if you look, some of this, the stuff they put in, like, even soap, super bad.
Yeah.
Like, super bad for you.
Yeah, it's not good. That's why people make their own deodorant. Yeah. They want to get away from aluminum.
The orange one you were talking about was Gojo. That can't be bad for you.
No, it's great.
I'm gonna go ahead and be the guy that says it doesn't matter what bad stuff's in deodorant. Mm-hmm. It is not worse than
B.O.
what people smell.
That's yeah. right.
Without deodorant.
That's right.
That's true.
And I don't care what bad stuff is in Irish Spring, but it costs $1, and I'm gonna keep using it because it smells delightful. I smell like a
is
leprechaun.
Is that what that is?
Yes.
That smells great.
You love it.
Hey, they have a new song out that is featuring the one and only Vince Gill. So when he plays guitar, when you are recording, were you just like, okay, let's watch this?
Didn't get a chance to watch it.
No. Oh, separately.
The way this went down. Started with a text, then a phone call with him, not even hearing the song, saying, absolutely, anything for an Okie. I don't even need to hear the song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, it's not really a text. I mean, I did send Vince a text, but I've never, ever, ever received a text from Vince. But I know he reads it because he responds with a phone call.
Oh, he's that guy?
He's that dude.
And it's awesome. Cool. I love it because, I mean, when you look down at your phone and Vince Gill comes up, it is the best feeling in the world.
Did you have to go and put a picture in? Like as a contact, that way it pops up and you can see his face every time when he's calling.
I should now.
And you purposely show it when like you're on a plane.
Oh, yeah. This guy's calling.
I'm getting a phone call. Who's that? It looks like Vince Gill. Swan Brothers in the studio. You can make sure you go and get Traveling On. It's the new song with them and Vince Gill. He's on there as well. You may have heard of that guy. Also, got a new album coming out. You guys going to be working on some of that, I understand, right?
Yes. So we just finished... The bulk of it. Still got a few little vocal things to lay down, but
do you need us to lay something down for you? Or?
Yeah, if you want.
We actually have some gang vocals we need done.
Yeah.
Some gang vocals?
Gang vocals.
It's like where everybody gets together and...
And just shouts in the background?
Yeah, pretty much. Like whatever line
Pretty much
is.
What you did earlier.
Say it louder!
I could do that.
Yeah.
I'm a gang vocal extraordinaire.
We're on Red Solo Cup. I don't know if you knew that.
You're kidding. No, I didn't.
Yeah, that's part of that. But yeah, we can do that for you.
We've done no big deal.
We've done it for many people. I mean, it was just...
We're like the Vince Gill of gang vocals.
I'm going to pull a Patrick and say, okay, but everybody's in the solo cut.
That's true.
I know, dude. He used to be so nice. So, golly.
What's the deal with the Blake Shelton song? Can we talk about that or no?
We can say minimal things.
We
wrote a song for ourselves and sent it to... friends of ours in the business that we like to get feedback on music and
with our buddies Matt McGinn and Ryan Beaver.
So you're like, hey, what do you think of this?
We're like, well, what do you think of this? And then basically they just said, why don't y'all not put this out? We want to give it to Blake Shelton. And then we talked to Blake. We've been friends with Blake since The Voice, and he seemed to like it quite a bit.
He said, Gwen likes this song, so I guess I'll cut it. You know, we're like, yes.
All right.
Yes.
That's so pretty awesome.
It is really awesome.
But everybody gets a Blake show.
Why are you guys acting like this is even a thing? Blake Shelton will sing anything.
I can call Glenn right now.
Yeah.
I always tell people, like, it does not matter. Even if it was a number one hit for us, if Blake puts it out, that buys me a way bigger house.
It does. Yeah. Much bigger.
Yeah.
You know, it's a funny thing. The last one that we were on was Lee Bryce's parking lot party.
Yeah.
And they wanted us to do the intro of it. So Patrick comes in and he's like, hey, can you cut this thing like you're on a broadcast in a parking lot? And it's going to go before this new song from Lee Bryce. And we're like, okay, well, when? And he's like, well, can you do it now? Like, I had my keys in my hand. I was leaving. And I was like, here, let's just record it. So we're like, hey, it's Big D and Bob. It's a parking lot party with Lee Bryce. And
we hit stop.
Hit stop, walked out.
And left.
Holy crap. 6 months later, I don't know, 4 months, whatever it was. Patrick comes in and he goes, I need you guys to sign this stuff here. It's from the label. I go, what is this?
Basically signing away our claims to anything.
I'm like, well, for what? What are you talking about? Well, you remember the thing you did? Oh, yeah. He goes, yeah, they're going to actually put it on the album. I'm like, that's stupid. All right.
We'd actually tried. Had we thought?
Yeah, we would put way more effort into it. Yeah.
Holy crap. Nice.
So
that was awesome.
Then it comes out and they go, Patrick comes in and goes, you guys remember that thing you did for Lee? Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be the single. We're like, what? Thing went number one.
Dude.
And we were like, we really should have put more. Like, I mean, yikes.
Yeah, we lazy that. We just kind of mailed it. That one in.
And, okay, and we signed away all anything.
Yeah, you signed away any portion of the proceeds.
Morons. Well, it was probably because Patrick came in and was like, you guys remember that Lee Bryce guy?
Yeah. Remember him?
Dude, I've never heard that story.
Didn't he do a song with Vince?
Everyone did.
Yeah.
Hey, I've never heard that story.
Yeah. So
y'all have a number one song. Yeah. Technically.
So I've been
invited to the party.
We did get a thing. And if you go in the bathroom
before he gave us a plaque commemorating the number one.
Because we were like, he would come in and I'd go like, golly, remember that song that you made tons of money off of? And you know, we didn't get anything. Nothing. Not even a plaque.
Not even
like you guys sent
notes.
Plaques to every other radio station in America to say, hey, thanks for your support. And we're on it. And you never sent us a thing. So he had one made for us. It says parking squat party.
Yeah,
and we
put
it in the bathroom.
It's got porta potties. Put it in the bathroom
because he knows that's the only place we put the little stuff up. Is in the stall of fame.
So
dude,
yeah, it's pretty funny. It's funny. I've been at Waffle House before and heard it
and heard your voice on it because it's the album version.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Did you stand up and go, "That's me"? Like, what do y'all do? Like when you hear a song like in Waffle House or whatever, and like there's people around, do you go, "That's us"?
It's been a while, so
I'm gonna be honest with you. Waffle House has touch tunes that you can control from your phone, you know. And I'll go in and literally
you play your own song.
I play my own song.
Oh my god! No, you play
later on. And then I stand up. I'm like, weird. That's me.
So
that's you got. Are you guys hearing
you
this?
You guys believe this?
I've done that at Buffalo Wild Wings.
The truth coming out.
I was like, if you go like a place that has a jukebox and it's like late at night or whatever, and it's you know the crowd, man, they want to hear Skynyrd, you know, Charlie Daniels, Bo Cephas, David Allan Coe. So I'll go in and I'll plan it and I'll put like five songs, and then I know that's when I'm going to be about done. And then when I know my last song that I put in is coming on, I pay for my stuff and leave because I know the next song is I'm a Barbie Girl in a Barbie World from Aqua. And that plays, and I know I'm in the parking lot and I can see people's heads turning. And they're like, who's playing that?
Oh, I'll give you one better. We used to hang out at this bar, and there was a bar next to it where there were people we didn't really care for.
Double bar, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just snooty people, and they didn't like our country music. So they kicked us out one time because we played too many Willie Nelson songs in a row. And then, but I had the app on my phone, and if you're close enough, you can play music in that bar.
Yes.
So we're sitting on the deck at our bar, and I play It's Raining Men every third song.
Yeah.
I just wait, because why don't you play it back to back, and I wait for the next one, and I pay extra so that they plays next.
Yeah,
and they keep playing It's Raining Men, and you keep people see someone walking around going, "Who's playing this?"
Stop
no
it.
Idea.
So great, man. Dude, it's good to see you guys again.
You too.
Good to see y'all.
And Bubba, they're alive. How about that?
Dude, I'm excited.
He's so pumped.
Well, all I knew was like one day somebody's running. Colton, I think, was going run off to get married.
Yeah.
And then like y'all disappeared on me. And I'm like, well, that kind of sucks. And then Patrick said y'all were coming in. And I got very excited because I was like, well, I didn't know what you guys were up to.
Can we come back and show you all the new stuff when it's ready?
Yes, absolutely.
You know what?
Only
I don't know what
comes.
For. I don't know what it's going to be for, but I'm getting y'all a plaque.
Okay,
for
please
something.
Do. Please give us a plaque.
It could be the gang vocals on this performance. So, there you go.
So, Patrick, when Vanessa calls you, don't say, hey, we just had them. You're going to have to wait a year. It's going to be like four
anytime.
Or 5 months.
And when the song goes number one, can we go to the party?
Absolutely.
All right.
Done.
The Swan Brothers, a new song is called Traveling On. Get it and check out the Swan Brothers online. Good to see you, boys. Thanks, man.